This is Shoulda Bet More with Will Hill, only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up on the show, Kev O'Neill, the Oddsbreakers, will join us. We'll ask about the NBA, his thoughts on the finals. We'll do some NFL, some college football as you start to sense the summer getting here. And anytime you get past Memorial Day, you know the summer is here, even though Memorial Day a little earlier this year. And the weather out here in the East has not been great. It's been chilly days here almost into June, and you turn the calendar into June. But with the conference finals being quicker, and the NHL was a sweep and a five-gamer, and then the NBA was a four-game sweep with the Knicks and the Cavs, and then Thunder Spurs kind of saved everyone going to seven. Once you get past the conference finals, you know, you don't get NBA every night, you don't get NHL every night, and you can start to sense, all right, it's the wait till football gets here, and that's kind of where we're at now. But we do have an NBA finals. It will be the Knicks and the Spurs as the Spurs come back from down 3-2, win in blowout fashion in game six, and then win on the road in a very impressive performance Saturday night. That was a fun game, a fun atmosphere. You know, some people might say you can't call that a great series because not enough of the games were competitive. I think you can call it a great series. Game one was a classic. It went to a seventh game. You had the road team winning. You had the underdog winning. You had the underdog down 3-2 and finding a way to win the series. So I thought that was really high-level basketball on Saturday night. SGA was great even in a loss. Wemby was unbelievable. Champagne hit amazing shots. And it will be the San Antonio Spurs in the New York Knicks Wednesday night. Spurs 4.5-point favorites for game one, total 218.5. As far as the series price, Spurs minus 205 or so, Knicks plus 180. I mentioned last week there's going to be some sentiment for the Knicks. Knicks are going to be trendy, rightfully so. They've won every game for a month. They've buried people. You have to balance that with the fact that, okay, but this is a different kettle of fish here playing against the Western Conference. Now, maybe San Antonio, there's a letdown. That's very possible. That was an emotional win Saturday night. And I think one of the reporters asked, was Wembanyama or somebody, and that was outside of Tirico. That was not a great broadcast on Saturday. What do the emotions of this team say about this team? Something like that. There were some strange post-game questions. A lot of, what does this mean to you? What does that mean to you? What does this mean to you? It wasn't great. But the Spurs were, you know, Wembanyama's crying. That reaction, like they'd won a championship, it does make you a little nervous that they have a little bit of a letdown, which is weird to say in the finals, but it's something that's, you know, going to be brought up, and it's something that has crossed my mind. But you know, great series, despite the fact that there weren't a lot of close games in that one. And, you know, I will say just quickly on the Thunder, boy, they might have a Chet Holmgren problem because he's so good against the other 28 teams, 29. Well, there's 30 teams he plays for the Thunders. He doesn't play the other. He doesn't play against himself, but he's good against everyone. He's really good against everyone except the Spurs. And he's just, his skill set gets completely nullified against Wembanyama. 71-14 against the league, against everyone else not named San Antonio, 4-8 against the Spurs, as the Spurs knocked them off, and just a tough loss for OKC. You could say, hey, if we had Mitchell and Jalen Williams healthy, they win. That might be true, but it's going to be the Spurs here against the Knicks. But like I was saying last week, and I was, you know, just mentioning, there's going to be sentiment for a Knicks team that's won every game for a month. They've won in dominant blowout fashion. And I think, you know, it's warranted. I can't just, and I would have said this 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have said, you know what, the West is going to win the finals. Whoever comes out between San Antonio and OKC is similar to Rams Seahawks in the NFL. It's a foregone conclusion. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion anymore. I just get a little concerned that the Knicks might be a little too trendy. I made the comparison to Boston and Dallas a couple years ago. Dallas had the same sort of, not the same sort of run in terms of the dominance as the Knicks, but pulled a bunch of upsets. Luka was the best player in the series. You're getting a plus price on the best player, all of those things, and Dallas got smoked. And I just wonder, and I mentioned too, those Warriors-Cavs series, when they played 4 years in a row, the Cavs would always go in there for games one and game two and just get buried. And the difference, the gap between the West and the East, I don't think is one that you can ignore. And one last thing on the OKC series. Boy, Caruso, 100-1, 120-1. That got down to 5-1 on Saturday. That got steamed way, way down. You started to get a little hope. There was really no way to hedge it. because Wembanyama and SGA were the favorites. I mean, there was nothing you could do. I guess you could have taken either of them, but then one of them is going to win, one of them is going to lose. It's just going to cancel out. So another one in the category of good bets that don't get home. I thought it had a shot. I was always skeptical that I would actually win, but I guess it was worth a shot. Better luck next time. And that was a tough one. Correct series score. I like these markets. These are fun. You can turn them, if you like the favorite, you can turn a minus price into a plus price with, if you pick the correct score. Spurs in 7 plus 310. That's the short shot, which goes to show you the most likely outcome in their mind, in the market's mind, is Spurs winning a longer series, similar to how OKC San Antonio was, with OKC favored to win in 7 as the short shot. Spurs in 5 plus 380. Spurs in 6 is 5-1. That is not bad. I like that payout. You get the extra bang for your buck because you would get the closeout game on the road. I think that might be worth it. If you like the Knicks, yeah, they might win in 6. That's probably, that's, wrapping up at home is certainly, how you want to win the series when you're the lower seed. You don't want to take it to a game 7 on the road. And can you imagine a Madison Square Garden on, I think game 6 is on a Tuesday night because game 7 is on a Friday. It's a weird final schedule this year. A game 6 in Madison Square Garden with the Knicks up 3-2 with a chance to win a championship. My goodness, that building would be absolutely insane. So if you think the Knicks win in 6, 5-1. Spurs sweep 7-1. Knicks in 7, 7-1. Knicks in 5, 12-1. Knicks to sweep 20-1. Like I said, I think of all of those, Spurs in 6, probably the best one. People like to bet these two total games over 5.5. You do pay a little bit of a price for it, minus 170. You always have the concern, the Spurs win the first two at home. All they need to do is get a split in 3 and 4, and you're going for the closeout in game 5. So I think that's on the table. I'm leaning towards picking Spurs in 6. They're up 3-2 going to New York, and they close it. It's competitive. It doesn't quite get to 7. I'm not convinced on it, and I do give the Knicks a shot. It does concern me a little bit, the Spurs' youth, all of those things. I think what ultimately, though, I think not enough is being made of the shooting over this stretch for the Knicks. The Knicks have shot 43% from 3 in this run. Their opponents have shot around 29% from 3. The league average is like 35%. So not only are they shooting way above expectations, their opponents are shooting way below expectations. You got to figure at some point that normalizes, that regresses. And what are these games going to look like? A, against a much better opponent, because let's face it, the Hawks, who are somehow up 2-1 over this Knicks team, which, looks like one of the great juggernauts of all time now. It's amazing to think this Knicks team lost 2 out of 3 to anybody, much less the Hawks. And obviously they haven't lost since, but the Hawks were not a great competitor. The Sixers, coming off that long series against Boston, Embiid couldn't move. They were beaten down. Knicks ran them off the floor. And then the Cavs. I mean, the Cavs, one of the worst conference finalists, I don't know, in recent memory. I mean, that's just not a typical Final Four team. And they were coming off 2-7 game series too. So it's not to poke holes in the Knicks. It's just try to evaluate everything fairly, evaluate everything properly. And again, I give the Knicks a shot. If we're playing a 7th game, I wouldn't be shocked if the Knicks were up 3-2 going to MSG for game 6. I'd be a little surprised, but I wouldn't be totally shocked. But hey, you got to pick somebody. I will go with the Spurs to get it done. I'll pick the Spurs in 6. And boy, you couldn't ask for more if you're the NBA. You get the Knicks in the finals, the New York market, all of that storyline with the drought, and just what a great fan base the Knicks have. You get Wembanyama, your next star. You kind of get rid of OKC. You don't have to hear about people whining about the officials for the next 2 weeks, which can get tedious. So, I sat here 2 weeks ago talking about how Thunder Spurs was one of the most anticipated series in a long time. This is not that far behind it. It really isn't. This is a fun series. It's a great NBA final. It starts on Wednesday here. I know that maybe they stretch it out too long for your liking, but you know what? It's the summer. There's not much else going on. Give these teams a chance to rest and recover. That's the one thing. And I said Spurs, OKC, I think you can consider it a great series. Not an all-time great series, but certainly one that's going to be remembered for a very long time. And when it goes 7 and you have those two teams with their firepower and their accolades and it goes 7, it's a great series. But injuries, and injuries made it tough to handicap too, but injuries kind of took away from it, where we're never going to know if A.J. Mitchell and Jalen Williams are healthy. If both teams are at full strength, is it OKC or San Antonio? And that's becoming a theme in these NBA playoffs. First off, it's very hard to repeat. Hasn't happened in 8 years since those Warriors teams. These teams just can't stay healthy, and these teams win championships, the Celtics, the Nuggets, the Thunder, and you think, ah, they're good, they're young, they're dominant, they got plenty more coming. And none of them get back to the finals, so I think it's just becoming a trend in the league here where playing deep into the season with how much movement and motion goes into the NBA game and how much space you have to cover, it's very hard to stay healthy for two consecutive postseason runs. And we're seeing that as the Thunder lose. And I just think that, injuries did derail it somewhat where we're not sure, who would have won if both teams were healthy. So that's the one thing about spacing this finals out where, all right, you play and then you get 2 days off. You play and you get a few days off. And I mean, think about it. It starts Wednesday, June 3rd, and the NBA in the game 7 of the finals would be Friday, June 19th. So you're basically taking up all of June or 3 weeks. I mean, it's a long, long series. If it goes 7, they're really stretching it out. But hey, that would be a lot of fun. We got a 7th game in OKC, San Antonio, a 7th game of the NBA Finals. I don't think it's crazy. I really don't. I don't think it's crazy. I think we'll get a long series. I think the Spurs win a long series. But that would be obviously, especially for us in the content too, the more games, the better. But I think we're looking at a good long series. I'm excited to get it going. It's the perfect time off in between now and the start too. You get a little juice for it. You don't have a week where you almost forget about it. It's a nice time to have a couple days to catch your breath, build a little hype for it, and get ready for the NBA Finals. But coming up next, Kev O'Neill, the Odds Breakers. We'll talk NBA, we'll talk NFL, college, his prep, his bets. That is next. This should have been more podcast.
Welcome back to Shoulda Bet More on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we are back. Shoulda Bet More podcast, and he is back. He's one of our favorites, the Odds Breakers, where he does a fantastic job, and he joins us now. Kev O'Neill. Kev, what's going on, man? Once these NBA playoffs, NBA finals, NHL finals get here, once these end, football's kind of around the corner. So excited to talk some football, but we will start here with some NBA. Did you have anything Spurs Thunder? I know you're a guy, and Chris Passero comes on our podcast the same way. You get very aggravated by some of the officiating in these sports, and when we bet on these games, the officiating can drive you crazy. Were you happy OKC lost, and how's it going, man?
Well, what's funny is that, maybe the social media is helping that out a little bit, because I did think it was, some better officiating there. I don't watch a ton of NBA, as you know. As I mentioned before, I only bet the playoffs, but this is my fourth profitable season, and I'm only 7-4. That's how low volume I am in the NBA, and I just look for spots. But I'm very happy to see Wemby, get through here. I think the guy, I think the correct definition is cheat code. I mean, look at the man. He's massive. He's huge. He's long. It's you just hope that body can keep going for, 10 years here in the NBA or 10 years plus, then he's going to be in the conversation for sure. But right now, watching him and celebrating that win yesterday was very heartfelt. And I got to tell you, the Thunder is a great team. And yes, NBA, you do think of officiating first, but I thought that maybe they did an okay job yesterday.
Spurs minus 205 series favorites against the Knicks, who are plus 170. Spurs are laying 4.5 points in game one. Does any of that interest you?
No, not yet. I mean, after that big win, you don't want to bet on a team in a kind of a semi-letdown position. Now, I know you have a few days here. They don't play till, I believe, Wednesday, Will. But right now, 4.5 kind of seems pretty fair to me. Maybe it should be 3.5 if I had to put my line on it. But, it'd be Knicks or nothing for me. I think the Knicks have been watching this, and the Knicks have been ready, and the Knicks are going to come full force. In game one here, and wow, Jalen Brunson has been such a surprise this year. I didn't see this coming. A lot of people thought Boston, when they got healthy, obviously, going to be in this position. But the Knicks, I think this series goes over 5.5. Unfortunately, I looked at that number. It's minus 170, Will, over 5.5. So, if I was going to make a play, that's kind of where I would look here right now for a future. But, you know, I'm going to bet it game by game, which you kind of hope is the Knicks do win so you can bet the Spurs the next game and lay the points, because that's just always such a great spot when that home team loses that first game. They really come back in full force for game two.
Yeah, that is one trend I've talked about a lot, where you almost have to put game one out of your head. Just turn your brain off, because you watch the road team win game one. You say, oh, man, now they're getting 7 or 8 and they just won. They're better than this team, all this stuff. And it's like, you know what? We've seen it too many times where if a team does lose game one at home, they not only win game two, they not only cover, but they usually cover pretty comfortably. Let's switch gears here. We'll do some NFL and some college football. Before I get to some specific things, NFL, just your process for getting ready for the season. I know you're doing college basketball. You do all these different sports. You almost forget, you know, what happened. Free agency draft. You need a refresher. What is your process like getting ready for the season? Where do you start? How do you start? Kind of take us through the process.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great question. You know, I first try to compile the information from last year. The best way to do that is using a Pythagorean win total. And we do a calculation every single year at the odds breakers on what teams were or should have done their expected wins versus their actual wins. And you get these teams that are way off. And in this case, the Bears are actually the biggest off from 11 wins. Their expected wins was about 8.04. And I do factor in turnovers on this. So the Bears were the biggest overachieving team from last year. Denver is second. And then for underachieving teams, it's the New York Giants that should have won 7.1 games instead of the 4 games that they won last year. But if you look at, you know, especially the biggest outliers, Kansas City was our largest bet under 11.5 wins because they won 15. And you could have even called it 16 games the year before because they benched everybody against Denver. Their Pythag was the most off I've ever seen at over 5 games. It became our largest bet. Now you can say Mahomes got injured, I got lucky. Well, if you remember, Mahomes was losing games when he was healthy. You know, it's not like this team was above 500 when he was coming in and, you know, by the time he got hurt. So the Pythag really sniffs a lot of that out. So that's where I start, Will. But then you got to look at strength of schedule. The Patriots had a historically easy schedule last year. And, you know, you have to factor that in as well. And obviously it's huge for the following year. The NFL constantly resets itself. And that's what we really love about the NFL is, you know, you get a different card every single year. It's not one dynasty that's always ruling the sport, you know, and strength of schedule is such a big factor when it comes into what happened the year before into going forward. Obviously, free agency, trades, getting older, fumble luck, injury luck, all that stuff that happened last year. You want to factor that in for your calculations for the next year. You know, there's some very unlucky teams with injuries. Actually, the Chiefs are one of them, clearly, and the Giants are one of them. They lost Malik Nabers right away and Cam Scadaboo and a few other players. Obviously, the Commanders got hit hard with their quarterback injury. And then you want to look at the draft. You know, how well did these teams do in the draft? What holes are they filling? I like to look at teams myself that have a young quarterback that didn't have to pay them yet, because, you know, once teams miss their window, and we can talk about the Lions and, you know, and a few other teams that are now in salary cap, you know, hell, I should say, it is very hard for them to bounce back.
Your favorite bet right now, over, under, and I don't know if you bet too many awards this far out, but right now, if I say, you know what, I want my one bet that I really like is what here in the NFL?
I just bet the Falcons over 6.5 at -115. And, you know, it would have been the Giants when I had plus money, but then now the Giants have evened out to -110. I got +105 over 7.5. But back to the Falcons, you know, this team had maybe the worst coach over the last 3 years in the NFL. And you know me, Will, I love betting on great coaches. And I'm not saying Stefanski's a great coach. As a matter of fact, I didn't like him when he won Coach of the Year, but I do think he's still a massive upgrade over Raheem Morris. And, you know, you have to remember this team is loaded with talent still. They have one of the top two running backs in the nation in Bijan Robinson. They just picked up Brian Robinson off the waivers as well. That was on borrowed time at San Francisco. You know, Michael Penix did get injured, but I think bringing Tua in, who's got probably a little bit of a chip on his shoulder after last year, also a lefty quarterback, was probably a pretty good move on their side. And he can even kind of get them started, you know, before Penix kind of fills in here. I think Pitts, franchising him was a no-brainer because he's really an absolute beast, almost a cheat code in himself at tight end, as long as he's running great routes. And Drake London's back. You know, this defense is solid, and I think the upgrade in coach there should just give them a couple extra wins. I was shocked to see 6.5. I'm like, how is this at 6.5? You know, so I took that, and it was only laying 115 juice at DraftKings. I guarantee that thing's gone within a few days, Will.
Who do you expect their quarterback to be? What do you expect the quarterback situation to be?
I think that Penix can make it back, but the truth is that I'm not worried, because I think Tua is, like I said earlier, is going to be a fine, you know, sub in that situation. But, you know, Penix did get hurt, but, you know, the quarterback, as long as you're not taking off, you're not making a ton of cuts, you can actually, you know, weather an ACL and those types of knee injuries, even ankle injuries, more than any other, you know, injured position, you know, right? It's not like a cornerback where you're always making cuts, or a wide receiver or running back. You know, it's a situation where you can weather that storm. I do think Penix makes it back, but I'm not too worried about it, as the Falcons are in the easiest division in football.
Yeah, and I bet on them to win the division in November, right? I think it was the week before Thanksgiving it was, because I looked at the schedule, looked at the path, and I said, you know what? They were 100-1 to win the division. It's not impossible. They immediately lost just a fluky game to the Jets, and then won every other game, where if they had just beaten the Jets, that ticket would have gotten home. So that was a frustrating one. Last minute or so, would you take a shot division too, since you like them over?
I would. Yeah, I think the Falcons to win. And here's the thing. You don't bet the playoffs to win in the NFC South, because I think they're only going to have one representation in the playoffs itself from the whole division. So I took Falcons to win the NFC South for a little bit at plus 450. And, you know, from a coordinator standpoint, I believe they did get the Jets' old defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich. And he actually was the only good person in that organization, in my opinion.
Yeah, and plus 450, you can still get that at DraftKings, and we can go over some of these other division bets here in a second. Just wanted to do some college. We'll do some other things, get Kev's thoughts on awards, futures, and how much prep he's done, how much prep he still has to do when it comes to the NFL season. And if you forget, if you're a new listener, Kev, a couple years ago, called Indiana before I heard anyone call Indiana to make the playoffs, to win the Big Ten, which they didn't do. They did make the playoffs. They didn't win the Big Ten, but 500-1, 1,000-1. So still, you still get your kudos for that. So Kev has a good feel for these teams, NFL and college. So we will come back. We will do more. Kev O'Neill, the Odds Breakers. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Should Have Bet More podcast. Stick with us.
To Should Have Bet More on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. Kev O'Neill, the Odds Breakers. All right, we talked a little Falcons here. I want to get into, I'll ask it this way before we get into some of these divisions. Do you have a sleeper team? A team, you know what? I guess the Falcons could count as that, but another team in your mind, and Seattle did it last year. It doesn't mean every year you're going to get a long shot to win the Super Bowl, but any other team you think is undervalued here that could be making a run?
I think the Giants are still undervalued because, you know, going back to the whole coach philosophy, I think they hit a home run here, moving on from Daboll and hiring a guy like John Harbaugh that demands excellence. I think that's, you know, where you have to first look here, because, you know, the Eagles, they won their Super Bowl, they got it done, but this is a situation where their salary cap is starting to hurt this team a little bit as well. They've just fired their offensive coordinator and had to get a new one, while the Giants, you know, bring in Harbaugh, and Harbaugh is going to, you know, give some energy to this team. I think Jackson Dart did a fantastic job last year without some of his best players. And you look, Cam Scadaboo is coming back, like I mentioned before. I'm not going to say that they're the best team in the division. I did upgrade them to average, actually, from being below average, just for the big hires. But I do think that, you know, this team's going to come together and fight for this division with such a great coach being there. And, you know, like I texted you probably a month or so ago, Will, I took them plus 60 to make the playoffs. They are plus 250 now to make the playoffs. So we have some value in that bet that we made nice and early. I love the fact that they drafted well. Dexter Lawrence had to go, man. I did like Dexter Lawrence a lot, but he had to go. But getting Arvell Reese, isn't it so funny about how everyone talks about, oh, is he an edge rusher? Is he a linebacker? How about just using him the way Ohio State did? You know, what's wrong with that? Put him in coverage, have him some blitz packages. You don't have to overthink this. Arvell Reese is a beast, an amazing prospect coming in from Ohio State. Just keep him in the same types of positions he played right now and think about that later. Not everybody has to be a Micah Parsons moving to edge, you know. Put him in his position, he'll be great. I think the Giants are probably the best sleeper team right now that I can find in the NFL.
NFC East, Eagles plus 110, Cowboys plus 235, Commanders 5-1, Giants 6-1. That's a good division. Is there a bet to be made there?
I think the safer bet is still plus 250 for the Giants to make the playoffs. I'd rather cash on something than have them get eked out by like an Eagles team that does well. You know, you have to remember the Cardinals are also getting a pretty good quarterback back and Jaden Daniels, who is a Heisman Trophy winner himself. It would only be the Giants at 6-1 to me. But if you're going to do that, I would still put more on the Giants making the playoffs because 14 teams make the playoffs now, right? Almost half the teams in the NFL. And I think there's just a better chance to hit plus money on that side rather than the other side. And, you know, the Giants, they were fortunate because their at-large schedule is not so bad. I believe they do get the Browns at large. And I just did the kind of did my prospectus on them. The other teams that they get at large are the Saints and at the Lions, right? I think the Saints and Browns are wins for them, especially because they're at home. At Lions might be a little tricky, but it's also at the end of the season. We'll see if the Lions can weather the big storm in the NFC North. So I like plus 250 more.
Yeah, and speaking of the Lions, the NFC North, not often do you get a fourth-place team, a last-place team. That's the short shot in the division, but that's the case here in another pretty good division. Lions plus 180, Packers plus 215. I still can't believe they blew that playoff game against the Bears, but they did. Bears are plus 310, and then the Vikings are 5-1. Is there a bet to be made here?
I'm going to blow your mind, Will. I took the Vikings to make the playoffs at plus 166. Nobody's talking about this Vikings team. But you have to remember that they still have a fantastic coach in KOC, and they have one of the best defensive coordinators in Flores. You know, this team was quietly won 9 games, and to their detriment, now that they have the third place schedule instead of the coveted fourth place schedule that the Lions have. But, you know, if there's ever a time that Kyler Murray's got to get it right, embarrassment that he had to go through, maybe it's this season, and maybe KOC fixes him. And I'm not even completely down on JJ McCarthy yet. And maybe they were trying to trade him. I don't know. But I still think that there's hope for that kid. And just when you're third in EPA, you finished the season third in defensive EPA. You know, that tells me that the offense that finished 28th in EPA just needs to make a step up. Maybe it's the Vikings. Maybe there's three playoff teams from the NFC North. But at plus 166, I'm betting on a great coach. I'm betting on some amazing players on offense. I'm pretty sure Justin Jefferson still plays there, right? This defense was locked down last year. I like the Vikings to make the playoffs, believe it or not, Will, at plus 166.
I don't think it's crazy. I have the same thought where I've been saying it for a couple of years. The roster is really good, and it's what they got the Darnold year. You just get decent quarterback play, pretty good quarterback play with the rest of the roster. I think O'Connell as a coach is good. I do think he's a little overrated, gets a little too much love for, you know, what he's done in big games. He got smoked by the Rams in the playoffs. They had a chance to get the one seed against the Lions. They got blown out. I played the Giants in a playoff game at home. They got Daniel Jones, all that money. So he hasn't won a playoff game, and he gets talked about like he's a great coach. I think he's a pretty solid coach. I'm with you, though. Flores is a great defensive coordinator. The roster's there. 5-1 in the division, or that's just there's too much competition?
Definitely not taking the division. That division is just way too tough. I think it's going to be any of the other three. I think one of them is going to take a step back. If I was going to bet someone to take a step back, it's the Lions. I think that just losing Brian or Ben Johnson, obviously the Bears, the very first year was a little bit weathered, but I think it's going to get tougher and tougher now for this team. Another team that missed their window that has to stay healthy on top because they don't have a lot in the middle to kind of come through. So, you know, God forbid, I don't think the Lions can weather a huge storm. And, if I think they really could be the Bears or Packers winning the division and the Vikings getting in the playoffs with 9 or 10 wins.
Yeah. And we saw that 2 years ago where all those teams won, the Vikings won 14, the Lions won 15, and Green Bay won 12 or 13 too, which is obviously unusual. We talked NFC South, NFC West, another really good division. But the NFC, to your point, the South, good luck getting a wild card in because there's a lot of balance here. Rams, plus 144. The Seahawks, despite being champions, are plus 160. And that 144 at DraftKings is weird. I don't remember seeing a 144. It's just an odd number for a division. Usually they're more round numbers. But San Fran plus 260, and then the Cardinals, if you want to bet them to win the division, you can get 90-1. You can also DM Kev or I. We will book that one for you. Is there a bet to be made here?
The Cardinals should be probably 10,000-1 to win the division. I mean, regression, Super Bowl hangover. The Seahawks, they were fantastic last year. That defense was fantastic, but they did lose some guys to free agency here. If I was going to bet anything, it's Kyle Shanahan at the plus 250. I think the Rams, very good. Stafford getting a little bit older. I feel like the Niners almost feel like they're hungry again. And, the Rams, that defensive secondary still worries me a little bit. You saw the Bears almost beat them in the playoffs too. The Bears just made a stupid pass at the end and kind of choked that game away. I don't want to make a bet in this division, but if I had to, it would be the Niners right now, being that they still have that great coach and Kyle Shanahan, great play callers, and obviously CMC. I hope he's healthy. If he stays healthy, I like their pickups at receiver too on the waiver wire that they got in the offseason. So now I would go Niners.
AFC East, everyone loved the Bills last year. Free spot on the bingo card, minus 300. It can't lose. It's just an automatic win. And what happened? The Patriots win the division. But I actually like them this year, minus 130. I am not high on the Patriots. The schedule difference, the stuff with Vrabel, there's a lot here to not like about the Patriots. Jets are 18-1, Dolphins are 35-1. I'd imagine you're not taking a shot with any of these underdogs. Would you play the Bills? Would you play somebody else?
I would play the Bills at minus 130. I think maybe you get a little bit better once Vrabel is for sure coaching in August. I didn't do a deep dive yet in this division. It's one of the few ones that I haven't jumped completely into yet. But, Josh Allen is just, I think, the best playmaker in the NFL. And, he's done a lot with little. And, this team just needs to get a little bit better at the skill positions, at the wide receiver positions, a little bit on the defensive side. And, they're a Super Bowl team. They're a Super Bowl contender every single year. I think the Patriots were very fortunate from that schedule last year and all the distractions with Vrabel. Vrabel's going to survive, in my opinion. He's definitely going to survive. But I do think that, they will take a step back this year, being that they now have a first place schedule, because that's going to make it a lot more rough for the Patriots now. I wouldn't be shocked if they split, though. I wouldn't be shocked if the Patriots win one and the Bills win one. That's very possible as well. But I do like Miami, believe it or not, a little bit over 4.5 wins. I think 4.5 this day and age, Will, is it, especially in the NFL when you have all this talent, is just too small. This is not college betting when you're looking at, Kansas or somebody like that, or Rutgers. This is the NFL here. And even the Saints got to 6 wins. If you remember, our best bet was Saints under 6.5 early in the season. That moved down to 5.5, Will. And whoever got 5.5 lost that bet. So the Cardinals got a few wins last year. It's 4.5 is just too low of a total. So believe it or not, I kind of like Miami over 4.5 wins.
Yeah, and it's just it's a league where in the NFL all these games are close, and when the games are close, they can go either way. We'll be back wrapping up Kev O'Neill. That is next, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Shoulda Bet More on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Kev O'Neill, the Oddsbreakers. We'll wrap up here. NFL, college football, the divisions, and I want to get your thoughts because I know you have a Heisman bet and you've got a bunch of different thoughts here on the NFL. But in terms of these divisions, we left off AFC East. AFC North, I don't see a great bet here. Ravens minus 115. The Bengals, who just always get the benefit of the doubt, have not won anything in a long time. I haven't been to the playoffs in a while. Steelers 5-1. No, thank you. And I'm not going to push you over and cut you in line to bet the Browns 16-1 to win this division. Anything here interests you in the AFC North?
Oh, God. You know, there's so much change in this division. And the truth is that, you know, you see these two legendary coaches move on. You know, Mike Tomlin obviously going to TV now, and, you know, Harbaugh moving to the NFC East. I think there's just a lot of variance here. I'm not a Zach Taylor guy, but I feel that the Bengals are going to win this division. I feel that the Ravens are going to take a big step down. I didn't bet anything minus the Bengals to win the Super Bowl at 30-1 this year early in the season. I also took the Bengals a little bit to win the AFC championship. And we've discussed this, Will, before. It's like, if you're going to bet the Super Bowl, you might as well bet something on the AFC championship. You don't want to be stuck there in a situation where you're worried about the Super Bowl. You'd rather collect and have some house money go for you. But 13-1, I got the Bengals at. And you have to remember, Joe Burrow is still a top 3, top 4 quarterback in this league. He just has to stay healthy. Now, that's a big if, but I think the Bengals finally made some good moves on defense. That offensive line is still a question for me. I'm still a little worried about it, but this is the division for the taking for the Bengals, in my opinion. So I think that they're going to be a representative in the playoffs for this division, but we'll see who gets the number one seed. I really hope it's the Bengals for my bets.
Texans plus 115 to win the AFC South. A disgusting playoff game on offense last year against the Patriots. Jags plus 230, Colts plus 390, and the Titans 8-1 long shots. Anything here for you?
Run away from this division, man. I have no idea what to expect. I just don't think the Titans are going to be great. But, I mean, we'll see what the Colts are with Danny Dimes and with some expectations now. I think a lot of teams kind of slept on them last year, and they won a lot of games, and they just lost a bunch in a row. It wasn't all Danny Dimes. It was just great situations. They have a fantastic running back. But I can make a case for all three of the top teams, man. There's no reason for me to jump into this. I think this one itself wouldn't shock me if any of those three teams are representative in this division. Another division where you question if there's going to be two playoff contenders like there was last year or not. You know, that's my question.
Chiefs to win the AFC West plus 160, Chargers plus 190, Broncos plus 225, and the Raiders are 20-1. What do you think?
The Chargers have the worst net rest at minus 24 days out of any NFL team. That scares the heck out of me. I do love the coach there, Harbaugh. It's Chiefs or nothing for me, most likely. I think Denver, like we said, from a Pythagorean win total, massively overachieved last year. Now Denver's going to have the first place schedule coming on in. I think Mahomes has rejuvenated a little bit, and maybe we can see a little bit more of earlier Mahomes. But it's another division that I don't have a lot of trust in. It would be Chiefs or nothing, because it hasn't been a while since we got plus money on the Chiefs too, Will. So you got to kind of think about that. But it's Chiefs or nothing for me in this division right now, just based upon how the schedule is falling and the fact that I think that Mahomes is coming back for blood.
College football, where are you with your prep? How do you get ready? It's so different now. It's, you know, years ago, it's just, hey, who's the returning starters? It's basically, you know, 70-80% of the work is already done for you. You just have to fill in the gaps. Now it's more like you start over from scratch every year. What's your process like? Where are you at with it now? And what are your thoughts here as we get ready for college football season?
The process is getting harder and harder as more and more FBS teams come in. As you know, Sacramento State and North Dakota State is now in the FBS, and we're at 138 teams. It's tough. Will. I mean, I get a preliminary power rating, and, you know, if I could be an only college football focused guy like some of our colleagues, Brad Powers, Josh, a couple other guys that we love to talk to, you know, it would be a little bit easier. But the truth is that I keep a pretty good power rating throughout the year. I think you're always prepping college football, no matter what time of year it is, and you just kind of add to it. Now, some of the deep dive magazines, when they come out, you should get some of them, the Phil Steeles, the Lindy's, the Athlons, you know, things like that come out. Obviously, there's all kinds of choices that come out. Pick Six Preview is one of our favorite. You know, that way you can actually look and do a little bit more of a deep dive. But I've made some bets. I think a lot of these numbers are gone. I don't think Cincinnati is going to be any good this year in the Big 12. I took them under 5.5 wins at plus 100. That 5.5 is a key number, because 6 is usually the make the bowl game or not. Well, bowl games are becoming less and less important anyway. I don't see them bouncing back after losing their quarterback who had a gambling addiction after moving to Texas Tech, as we all know about. You know, everyone believes in Kansas State. I don't believe in Avery Johnson so much. I took their under for plus money, 7.5. I could be eating my words on this, but I just think that he's a quarterback that has some issues. And Baylor's my biggest bet under 6.5 wins, because after they lost Robertson and they lost a ton of guys, I don't believe Dave Aranda's a serious coach. And Baylor has an extremely tough schedule coming up, especially when they're facing, you know, teams like Auburn again, you know, in the non-conference. So I don't see how Baylor gets past 6.5 wins. But, you know, I do have a sleeper team in the SEC. And believe it or not, I like South Carolina a little bit. I took them over 5.5 and over 6.5 wins. Now they have a tough schedule, but this team ranks fourth in returning production, you know, and they have their big quarterback back. I'm not a Shane Beamer guy, but I think the SEC is a little bit evened out, let's just say. I think the top has come down a little bit and the bottom has come up, right? I think every team is kind of challenged in this division. But South Carolina, 11-1 to make the playoffs. I think there could be a kind of like sneaky team coming in. They do get to avoid Texas. They do get Georgia at home at least this year. I don't think the at Clemson is nearly as hard as it used to be for South Carolina. I like them a little bit to be sneaky here, being that they return so much production and they rank 23rd in the on three net transfer portal rankings. I like looking at net transfer portal rankings more than anything else.
Have you looked at the Heisman market?
Absolutely. I did put a bet on the Heisman, and I landed it. When you look at Heisman, you got to be careful because there's guys that have great defenses, so they don't need to play much in the third quarter, so they're not going to have those numbers. You can talk about Ohio State in that situation, and you can look at teams that have a harder schedule like Texas with Manning, and Manning's got the name. But I look at a team that always puts up numbers like Oregon, and I landed on Dante Moore. And Dante Moore at FanDuel is at 12-1. What we like about this is when he plays the bottom of the Big Ten, the bottom of the Big Ten is worse than the SEC. I think the top of the Big Ten is better than the SEC. The bottom is much worse. So he's going to have much more opportunities to put up big numbers. And he's coming back from an amazing performance last year. And I think this offense and the fact that they just keep reloading with that Nike money is just going, you're going to see scores in the 40s and 50s and 60s a lot this year. I think he's got the best path to making the Heisman. And also, he's not going against like a Travis Hunter unicorn guy that plays on both sides. I do love Jeremiah Smith a lot for Ohio State. But man, I think at 12-1, you're getting double digits here on a kid like Dante Moore. I think that's good value.
Indiana's just going to keep doing what Indiana does and just steamrolling people. They get Hoover. The coach is really good. Do you buy into Indiana again?
I buy Kirk Cignetti. I don't love the quarterback they got from TCU. Now, I could have said the same thing about Mendoza probably last year a little bit. And the kid turned out to be, you know, the number one draft pick in the NFL. Yeah, I'm not fading Indiana, let's just say. But now it's like the value's gone. And thank you for mentioning earlier, I was very, you know, very happy wear that one like a badge, calling that out. But now you're not getting, you know, those odds anymore. Just like if you look at Maryland to make the playoffs, Will, it's 60-1. This ain't like 200-1 to 500-1 like we bet, you know, with Indiana a couple of years ago, because the books just did not know what to do when the playoffs went to 12. Schedule was the a huge thing. I'm not fading Indiana here, but a situation where I don't want to, you know, bet on them with the high expectations and a 10.5 win total as well. You know, it's funny, Will, I could tease you a little bit here. There is a team at 500-1 that I didn't bet, and I'm not saying to bet it, and I'm not saying I won't bet it, but there's a team in the Big Ten that avoids Ohio State, Oregon, and Michigan, and they go to Penn State.
Okay,
you know what team that is?
No,
it's in the same state. It's Purdue. Now I'm not saying to go run to the window and bet Purdue at 500-1 to make the playoffs, but I do think the number's wrong. I think it should be probably 100-1 or 150-1. But avoiding those big three, maybe when they do get Notre Dame at home, Notre Dame sleeping. Maybe when they play at Indiana in the very final game in that in-state rivalry, Indiana's injured. I'm just saying.
Kev O'Neill, the Odds Breakers, he does a great job. Check out all of his stuff, the Odds Breakers podcast, and stay tuned to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and listen to Should Have Bet More podcast Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 o'clock Eastern. It drops wherever you get your podcasts.